Welcome to Tilth Talk Radio. Today we're going to be talking about some updates from the field. In our spotlight, we'll take a look at the Omega Block and see what that is as it pertains to weather. Ag History Minute, we'll talk about the brown corn planter. Cool Beans, That's Corny, we'll have some current events. And we'll wrap things up with a Field Good Friday. With me today are Bill Schomburg.
Hey, guys.
Todd Schomburg.
Hey to all the Tilthies out there.
And I'm Matt Brueger, all with Tilth Agronomy. All right. So we are here. Planting season is somewhat underway. I mean, it's started in places, a little bit more, urgency to it than maybe the last couple weeks. So things are definitely feeling busier out in the field.
It depends where you go.
Yeah, that's true. Around here it's manure. A lot of manure trucks have been going this last
year. Yeah, which is every year, right? It depends where you go. But just talking to a couple of guys, they're like, yeah, I can go in a couple spots, but it just needs a couple more days.
Yep.
So I think by Monday.
It'll be going like right after Mother's Day for sure. For us, it'll be wide open. Other places, it's weird in the spots where it's given her versus the spots where it's not as much. And it's very wet. Deeper than you think, like down low is wet, so it's you got to dig down like 4 inches and check the soil there. Don't just check the top two.
Well, I think too, there's a lot of guys that have manure still in the a lot of manure still in the pits, so they're kind of worried about that right now.
Yeah, manure to haul and just
that was earlier this week. Is like, do you think it'll be dry enough to haul manure by the end of the week? Like, yeah, I think it'll be dry enough to haul manure, but. Then you get last night with the frost warning out there.
It's still getting cold at night.
Yeah.
But then that, too, we've had one really good drying day in the past sort of 6 or 7 days. And it was very good, but the rest weren't as good, so you don't...
Yeah. We've had sun, we've had wind, we just haven't gotten great temperatures like we did earlier in the week.
Last couple of days have been chilly.
Yeah.
Surprising, like, you wouldn't think, because it was still getting to almost 60... Like, the difference between 60 and 70 just feels a lot more different than it should.
Well, and we've had so much wind, too, I think, that the real feel.
Right, the wind has been colder.
Yeah, it's kept it cold. But it looks like next week is shorts weather.
Yeah, talking multiple days of 80s. Nighttime temperatures are 40s and 50s, so
that's that is helping, but it's also making it harder to wait for farmers. The forecast looks great,
right?
So that's a promising thing. At least it doesn't look like there's a whole bunch of rain coming, but good forecast that it can really feel. But remember, we did the egg idiom of the week, remember that old?
Yep.
And right now it feels like chomping at the bit. Like, that's what it feels like. And we had Kentucky Derby last week, so like the horse thing. But, yeah, it just feels like they're literally, like, in those starting gates in the Kentucky Derby, but they just got to wait for days. And, like, waiting's harder than not waiting. Like, you'd think how once you start going and, like, how much work that is a lot of work. But to wait and, like, that anticipation and that.
I think the good news,
you know, it's going to be long days.
With the waiting, though, is it's not like next week looks rain. Like, we better work the weekend. We better work Mother's Day because Monday and Tuesday it's going to rain. It's like there's nothing. So it's like, well, we'll just wait till Monday then and have our Mother's Day or take a couple extra days and do it right. So that's the good thing, I think, that's helping this year. As I've heard farmers say, I'm in no hurry because the forecast looks good.
Yeah. Well, and too, even if there's only a couple spots to go, that gives you time to work out the kinks of the planter, make sure everything's kind of rolling right before it really is go time. So that's conversations I've had the last couple of days is, you know, I don't have a lot ready, but I've had enough to at least kind of work some of the kinks out. And I know I don't have to rush through it because I can start a field, stop, fix something, or, you know, go back to the shop, do what I need to do, and not have to be like, well, I got to push it just because tomorrow it's going to rain. So in that way, it's doesn't maybe not feel like a good thing, but it is a good thing.
It is. You're right. To have that window to actually get the kinks worked out, that is nice. To have that time to just make sure everything's working. And I have had multiple guys say, like, there were certain things that weren't working with their corn planters, and they were able to fix those before it became an issue.
Yeah, yesterday I was literally talking to the dad, and the son called, and you could hear the beeping of the monitor in the background. Like, oh, yeah, I better go over there. And then, yeah, a couple minutes later, they're pulling out of the field. So
I had a call that the guy called, and he's like, I've never had this much problems getting started. So he's like, I tried everything, changing meters, changing sensors, like everything. And, yeah, it's you'd think you'd put it away and you'd bring it back out and it'd be okay, but it's not.
It's never
the
case.
Yes, definitely not. Not at all. Especially now with all of the technology on these machines, it is not simple anymore. And that's good for a lot of things where, you know, our singulation's much better than it used to be and all that stuff. But there's just a lot more things that potentially could go wrong and do go wrong.
It's like going back to your old computer that's been sitting, you boot it up, and you're like, God, I forgot how slow this thing is.
Yeah.
I did get a new computer and booting it up. And it's like a couple things I needed on my old, like old computer. And I went back the last time I booted up like 8 months ago, it was like it did what I needed to do. And I'm like, okay, I got it. Well, I went to boot it up the other day and nothing. The fan ran and that was it. And then it turned off. I'm like, damn it.
I recently had one of those as well. That there's a software on an old computer that my wife needed to use, and it runs slow, and that's why you got a new computer, because the old one was junk, but you need the software. And I just went and deleted all of the, like basically any other software on there that we don't need, and it runs faster than ever. It was unreal. Like how much
it's clearing all this.
Yeah. Yep. You know, it was like Zoom and Skype and just, I mean, it was like all of the stuff that sort of, all the antivirus stuff. I'm like, ah, screw it. I'm not. It just needed a Windows Movie Maker on this computer. That's all I need it for. Yep,
that's all it can run.
And yes. But you're right. It is like that. It's like leaving something that you only use
8-9 months, and then you can't just jump in and be like, all right, just like I left it. And sometimes just like you left it isn't as good either, because you forget, like, oh, yeah, that was sticking, or, you know, this. Right. Like, I just needed to finish that last 5 acres, so we just made it work, but. You got guys that love to tear apart the planter and they start it in the winter, and then you got the other guys that roll it out of the shed a day before they want to use it, and then they're calling John Deere or whoever, like, yeah, I need this, 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 and this by tomorrow. Can you do that? All right. Well, I wouldn't even call that small talk. I think we've kind of just rolled into the topic for today.
Yeah, let's talk. Yeah, let's get right in it. So, this time of year, you got to be –
it's going to be ready.
It's go time.
I feel like my whole week was, it's like roll with the punches. Like, I feel like I put on triple the miles I normally do.
Yeah, was running all just over, like, just looking at just random stuff.
Yeah, like, okay, I'm here, and then a guy calls, dang it, it's 50, and all, it's like 70 miles away or whatever. It's like, just felt like this week was all ends of the spectrum of where we had to be.
Yeah, so I guess starting with corn planting, a little bit of that's happened. That field I was in yesterday was planted to corn. So have you seen any depth issues or anything that's going on with planters? Bill, you got any corn in the ground?
A little bit. Yep. I've got one planter, kind of a larger planter. They've got tracks on the tractor. And last year, the row units behind the tracks were planting shallower than the rest of the planter. So we're kind of more focused, hyper-focused on that this year, making sure that, you know, normally you set, for the most part, you're going to set all the row units the same, right, for the most part.
Yep.
But here, we actually got those two row units set a notch deeper than the other ones. Just it firms it up so much more, and it just seems like it doesn't get as deep, especially if it's in wetter, just soil that isn't quite right. And these guys have a lot of acres of plants, so they kind of you have to start. But so that was my main planting depth, just checking.
No, sure. I've had quite a bit going in just here and there. It seems very regional where it's ready, and guys are going, and yeah, in general, depths have been, had one planter probably had adjust down one notch, and it was still right. It was like 1¾ inches, 2 inches. We went down a notch to get it down into the moisture where we wanted it.
Sure.
More the other planter was rolling kind of perfectly, so that's been good. As it seems like it's not like a big change necessarily from last year's to this year's conditions.
So speaking of planters, I did learn something that I've been talking, I don't know if speaking wrong about over the last 10 years, but so now with these, with the advent of GPS, right, and auto shutoffs, we're tracking, and I hope, you know, I would imagine you guys are too, you're digging corn.
Those ins and outs.
Ins and outs.
Huge in ins and outs.
I mean, huge on ins and outs, because I had a problem 1 year, and it was a problem. And so I learned.
You had a bad experience.
We did. I learned that the way I was explaining an in and out is not the same as what our local Reister and Schnell was in and out. So I was saying, like, in and out of the headlands, coming into the headlands, going out into the headlands, like into the field. So my in is you're in the field planting, coming towards
toward the headland?
Toward the headlands. And then opposite. Well, his is like coverage, like going out of coverage. So we are basically talking with backwards.
Yep. Sure. But they consider a coverage map.
Right.
Saying,
like if you tell the Reister guy in, he's thinking going into coverage. And I was saying going in and out of the field. I think I said that backwards.
Headlands.
Right. Not the headlands, the field. So I would going into the field, my in is at, you know, 5 feet. We need to get that down. Well, he's thinking that's out because it's out of coverage. We already planted the headlands. And that's covered, that's coverage. So we're going out of the coverage. So get that straight with your, if you have your farmer or your local, whoever planter guy, rep, whatever color you have, making sure you're.
So it wasn't convenient enough that it was off by the same amount both ways. It was.
Well, the hard part is I kept like saying like, we're off. And he's like, I can't go anymore. Like, I can't fix it anymore. And I'm like, you're still off. Like, what's the problem? Well, he was thinking.
He was turning the gauge one.
Right. He was going the wrong way.
Yeah.
You could go the other. Okay.
Yep. So that was one thing I learned this year is we have to speak in coverage now, which way you're headed towards the coverage, not which way you're headed towards the field. That's the way I was speaking with my scouts and myself. So anyhow, long story there, but.
So communication.
Right. We've talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple things to watch that I've seen is how this soil is setting up. It's quite dry on the top.
Yep.
So you have like powder dust dry, like dust is rolling if it's ready off behind these planters. So you got a half inch of dust, then you got, say, hopefully 2 to 3 inches of adequate moisture, and then it's quite wet underneath, still hopefully not too wet, but wetter. In that dry topsoil, you got to manage it in the right way. So where I seen to is a few guys, we had that dry dirt kind of that dust almost like you'd call it when I dig for seeds. So it's nice to be right while the planter's going. You can't go the next day because you're not going to notice it necessarily.
Yep.
You'll see that dry dirt getting down into your seed furrow next to your seed. And that's a problem. So basically your double discs are opening it. And then before, you know, your seed closer somewhere in that process, dry dirt's kind of
spilling into
that trench. So, couple things you can do, make sure that your gauge wheels are tight enough to your double disc openers. Make sure that whole part, first of all, is tight. And if that is tight, then the next step is increasing down pressure in some way. A lot of times now, down pressure you can increase from the cab, which is nice.
Yep.
And it does feel like we're actually running more down pressure this year than we had to in past years. Last year, I guess. So we are up in that down pressure to kind of get it into the depth we want, and as well as trying to hold that soil from collapsing in and then basically letting our disc closer, our closing wheels, you know, press that furrow in nicely. So
yep.
One of the hard parts we were having, this was a field that was cover crop, but where the press wheels were pressing back, it was leaving almost like a void trench at times. Not where you can see down the middle, but toward kind of towards the sides that it wasn't closing quite as good. We seemingly were able to get that figured out with maybe a little bit more pressure on the closing wheels, but at the same time, it was just how that soil set up. It was just spots. Spots were perfect, and you'd have like 5% of the field where you'd see this. It was just a little bit wet yet.
Yep.
So, and again, for some farmers, if it's like that, you stop and you wait the next day till it dries better or do something different. But yeah, that is something that I always like watching, is that, you know, just so you don't get that. I've heard that called different things, that one guy on Ag Talk called it fizzle dust, and I don't know why I liked that.
Fizzle dust.
Yes.
All right.
Yep. So yeah, that's this, yeah.
It sounds like a Snoop Dogg.
Fizzle dust, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna say a street name for something you snort. Right. More what I was.
No, I just thought
it sounded like.
And I
you kids on the fizzle dust.
Fizzle schnizzle or whatever.
Schnizzle my nizzle.
So yes, so this is a Snoop Dogg dust that gets in your planter furrow and just messes with it.
But. So you don't want the Snoop Doggy Dog down in the trench.
Another way to is go deeper. So say you're at 1¾ inches or 2, that sometimes just going to 2¼, you'll kind of, that problem just doesn't seem like it gets down to the seed or something, or it affects it as much, or holds it open maybe longer. But
yeah, no, I was surprised as I was seeing very similar conditions in some heavier ground down south and how well it really was closing, despite how really tacky it was down deep.
Right.
So yeah, I think having the right combination of down pressure and pressure on those closing wheels is key right now. As things dry out more, you may have to readjust depending on what type of soil conditions you're planting into. But
that down pressure adjustment's been a game changer. I mean, think of 15, 20 years ago, I mean, that was all like spring adjusted, and you kind of just set it once and
never moved it.
You didn't. You could only adjust you really it so much with the springs, with it.
Yeah. Right? And then so you'd play with your depth a lot. And now I feel like I'm changing depths a little bit, but in general, I'm more changing down pressure now at times than I am depths. You know, increasing or decreasing down pressure.
I will say the field I was in too, the planter has smart firmers, and because of the level of moisture, even despite the top being dry, didn't see a lot of variation because those will plant into moisture.
Right. So it was all still planting.
So it was all, depth was all it seemed going? Fairly consistent. It was right around that 1¾, 2 inches, because they had, in this instance, they had taken like a high-speed disc and kind of gone over the top. So there was some dry on top, but not... Wasn't as dry throughout as I was kind of expecting it to
yeah,
be.
Okay.
So,
I forgot about one more adjustment with the fizzle dust.
Nope, sorry, we have to move on.
No, we got to talk. So your trash whips or your roll cleaners, whatever you want to call them. Roll cleaners is also another way to kind of like push away the fizzle dust. That one gets very tricky. Like you. The more I've adjusted with that, the more I regretted, like, you just start plowing or you're pushing away kind of some of the good dirt, if you will. So I know that is a way that guys will kind of push away some of that dry dirt. I actually prefer it to push away maybe any sort of clumps in the soil that are large, or if you do have, like, root balls or cover crop kind of residue or something that kind of... That's what they're made for,
right?
Is to do that. I really don't like pushing away any sort of good soil, whatever. Consider even if it's, you know, maybe it's way too dry. But sometimes when you just start plowing with those, and I don't like that. I don't like that. You get that really hump to it where you're just plowing way too much.
Maybe we could do a whole episode on row cleaners positioning, whether they're on the row unit, not on the row unit. But yeah, I've actually got a couple farms doing some trials, not directly related to performance of the row cleaner, but where they're going to be lifting row cleaners out of the way and plant some with and without.
Good. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what differences we see there.
Look at what we've done with that. Remember the no-till disc coulter out front?
Yep.
And I have zero planters with that now that I can think of. Because again, that would almost like incorporate some of that different soil down in that furrow and just didn't necessarily help you. You just needed better double disc openers. And it'll be interesting what you learn with that study, Matt. And we might learn that sometimes these row cleaners are too aggressive or you really didn't need it. You're actually...
Yeah, and that actually...
things that you didn't want to.
Is the point, is the aggressiveness of it. So it's... The purpose of the study is really looking at slugs. So it's part of a pest study to see if we see a difference between slug pressure where you have an aggressive row cleaner where it's drying out that soil a little bit because it's working it more than the planter itself or no-tilling directly.
What's your hypothesis to that?
The idea is because slugs don't like dry soil,
right.
So the more you dry it out, if you have a more aggressive,
so more aggressive cleaner, will have less
should slugs. Dry it out. And,
I like that.
Does moving the trash part of that?
You'd
think like they would harbor.
Yeah, because moving the trash is going to allow more drying action because you're not, you know, that's one complaint you get of people with no-till sometimes is that too much residue holds the moisture in the ground too much when you want it to dry out. You want it there later to hold the moisture when you need it. So it's kind of that double-edged sword. But yeah, we haven't seen much slug pressure so far compared to last year. Last year there was, especially down like the Fond du Lac area around Lake Winnebago on either side, we saw quite a bit. This year we haven't really seen them popping in. We're doing some monitoring and in that area and also a couple other areas. As part of that whole study, that's just one thing. We're also looking at strip till versus no till for the same reason. So if you're strip tilling, then you're in the row drying out that.
That's actually where my brain went was like if you got to be that aggressive on a row cleaner, you might maybe want to go use some strip till. Right. But yeah, that is neat where you could still stay no till but kind of be a little bit more aggressive. Yeah.
So, which is a good segue into have you guys seen any pest stuff? I've not seen. There's been some light reports of slugs last I heard. Not on any of the farms I'm checking, but they have been some sightings of them this year. You know, that was one, like I said, especially down in that around Lake Winnebago area that we were concerned about from last year. But really, other than that, I've seen very little in terms of any pests. I don't know you guys got
so,
anything.
Yeah, so Tilth, what do we have, like 10?
The moth traps.
Yeah, with the dad cap trapping network. So if you get emails or you can go to the dad cap's website and get like weekly updates on a whole bunch of pests. We have several traps out there and mine this week for the true army worm like tripled. Now I don't know what that means because it's just a number. There's no threshold tied to how many moths you get in the trap. But it's been hanging around the 20s, and now this week it jumped to 75.
75 is quite a jump.
Yeah, so that I'm kind of watching, and my trap is in some cornfields that had cover and a hayfield. So it's like kind of three fields come together, and two of the fields were corn that had cover, and one's a hayfield. So like perfect, you know, habitat for those moths that want to lay eggs and stuff. So I'm kind of watching that at some point. You know, no corn is planted there yet. It's heavy clay soil, so nothing's done there, but just kind of watching. And I'm actually pulled up the network's reporting for this week, and just look, mine jumped. Like, other people are dropping, and I'm going up, so.
So they're starting to migrate more north.
Yeah, so, like, nobody else has really made the jump that mine did. In fact, like, the southern, like, Washera, Walworth, Rock counties, they went the other way. So Green County was at almost 500. This week is at 200. So I'm just watching, you know, it's time to get those armyworm eyeballs out and make sure we're watching for that.
Where can our listeners find that, Bill?
Well, I get an email.
Oh, okay. There is, so one of the spots, and this is more Midwest, is IPMpipe.org. So, like, if you Google IPM pipe,
or like Wisconsin DadCap Field Notes is what, and it's pest survey program. That's the email I get. So they could Google that too, I'm sure.
Yeah, the IPM pipe's got Wisconsin, it's got Illinois, Iowa, and the I states, Indiana. So you can kind of see different, and that's for black cowworm, for different, you know, tire spot, it's got other ones, and it sort of shows a little thing as they're moving around and stuff and places. So, yeah, it's been a good resource to kind of watch, especially black cowworm is... It's very, very localized problem.
The neat part was last year, so the army worm trap stays the same. It goes from true army worms that we monitor in the spring and summer, and then like late summer into fall, it changes to fall army worm. But then the black cutworm, that trap, different trap, that one we monitor black cutworm now, and then sometime in June that switches to western bean cutworm. And I moved that to where I knew I had western bean, and that trap just followed exactly the way it looked in the field. So that was really neat last year. Once the moth count started to pop up in the trap, then I knew I had to be out in the scouting, and sure, we did see the rise of egg masses match our counts rising in the trap. So that was fun.
The way the legends set up on both black cutworm and true army worm, that, you know, zero is just nothing, you know, obviously fine. And 0 to 10 is kind of a light pressure, 10 to 50, kind of moderate. And then over 50 moths, it basically reds it out over 50. So kind of, Bill, that would show your trap then from that to be a more of a watch out threshold.
So yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on as we move into the season. But yeah, so far not seeing a lot, which makes some sense. It has been cooler once we get the warmer temperatures in the next week here. We might see some differences there, but we'll have to keep an eye on your rising trap counts there, Bill.
I'll watch her again on Tuesday.
All right. And I guess the last thing we've talked about somewhat is, does dry weather mean good planting? And so, you know, we've talked about it's been kind of hit or miss. Some places are rolling where they maybe got a little less rain last week. I know areas that got 2 inches plus last week were still kind of holding off because the top was drying out, but the, you know, you dig down and there was plenty of moisture, almost too much moisture really underneath. So it's always good to keep checking, keep move it across the field, you know, whether you're doing tillage or not doing tillage. You know, most guys, I think, have a pretty good idea of how their fields behave in different weather, but just keep checking, and if it's not right, then it's not right. We're not in a position right now where we need to force it too much. Maybe if you've got a lot of acres and you have rain in your forecast, but I haven't seen a whole lot of worrying rain in the forecast. So just because it's dry doesn't mean it's automatically fit. I know we talked about that a couple weeks ago on the podcast, but just good to keep an eye on things. And right now, just do what you need to do, whether that means go or not. All right, that'll do it for the topic. Now let's move into our spotlight for today. Another weather term that, I don't know, if you guys were familiar with, I was not familiar with the Omega Block. But the Omega Block has taken over, apparently, and could have some big impacts on the type of weather that we continue to get, including causing maybe some drought areas, as well as areas getting significant rains. So the forecast for May, it's pointing to rapid warm-up with rains across the drought-stricken plains, but drier forecast for the heart of the Corn Belt. So with what was a rapid planting progress across the Midwest became stalled by a wetter weather pattern to finish April. But now that we're into May, the Omega Block is causing the pattern to shift, and it could bring good news for the drought-stricken plains and could also propel planting progress. Michael Clark, CEO and co-founder of BAM Weather, says the rainfall totals for the past week have been unprecedented. If you look at areas like the South Central Plains, they've had rainfall totals that have exceeded a foot or more of rain. Places like Oklahoma, North Central Texas, that's 13 inches of rainfall observation in the last 7 days. So the South Central Plains have been inundated with rains. There are also areas that saw sudden onset of moisture, including Central Iowa, Dakotas, and Southern Minnesota. And then we've lacked... We've lacked in the way of rain in eastern Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan. Clark says that's going to be going to matter a little bit going forward, but you have to brace for the Omega Block. And that means areas of the Midwest will see warmer, drier weather this week, while parts of the drought-stricken plains will continue to see the rains, and that's all due to the Omega Block. And the Omega Block essentially is what it does is bring in areas of high pressure over the central part of the country, and in the 7-day rainfall map, there's kind of shuts off the moisture in the central U.S., but adds it to the west and east and even south. So a kind of a upside down U on the map. So a lot of precipitation down through Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and good chunk of the Midwest. I mean, southeast corner of Wisconsin's kind of in that range, but the U shape in the forecast is what makes up the Omega Block. So it's good news for folks that need to get into the field and get work done in kind of the central part of the country. So, yeah, I feel like they just are making stuff up.
So
these different terms, like
I know we have some listeners out there that listen to Zabin, Steve Zabin, and he had yesterday he had Mark Baton on from Milwaukee. He's our
The weather guy.
He's the Luke Sampi of Luke Sampi down there, and he said the reason
Pitoniak.
I didn't realize Luke was
the
benchmark.
Yeah, whatever, Pitoniak, Brad Spakowitz, whatever. But he said that the reason it's called Omega is because of the Greek letter Omega. It
is a U shape.
Yeah, it looks like that.
That's with the lines at that, which kind of, yeah.
So it's not, they're just not making stuff up.
They're just pulling Greek letters. Not any other Greek letters.
What I think is kind of funny is Omega is a really like a horseshoe when you think of it with the hoop and the top.
Right.
And this weather pattern is like the letter U with the loop at the bottom.
So it's upside down.
So you think it would be a U block.
Right. I get what you're saying, Matt.
Like whenever I've seen the symbol for Omega in Greek letters, it's you know, the loop over the top.
This is like a rainbow. It should be upside down Omega block.
Yeah. No. Reverse Omega block.
Yes. Fair.
Which sounds like a drug or some sort of... You need Omega Blocker is what you need.
Is this another Snoop Dogg thing or not? After he takes his fizzle dust, then he...
Fizzle dust can interfere with your Omega block activation. I don't know.
Should help it.
But yes, so that could be what we can attribute our upcoming nicer weather to is the Omega block. So, all right. Now let's move into our Ag History Minute. So since the planters are rolling, thought we'd talk about the brown corn planter. No, I'm not talking about the color. It's the guy that made it. So we don't have any of these anymore, at least not that are called the brown corn planter that I know of. A lot of Kinsey's, John Deere, other types of planters. But a little bit of history here is, so using hand planters, a farmer could only plant about an acre of corn per day, limiting their overall production to about 10 acres of corn per year. Farmers in the 1800s planted corn in a check pattern different from what we see in today's fields. The method was to place 3 or 4 seeds in hills equidistant from each other in all directions, forming the check. Spacing was typically 42 inches to accommodate a horse or mule for cultivation. And this type of planting allowed corn to be cultivated in both directions, making weed control easier. In 1853, George Brown of Knox County dramatically changed corn production in the Midwest with the introduction of his horse-drawn corn planter. Two early versions were made. George W. Brown was an experienced carpenter as well as a farmer who had an interest in creating devices that made farm life a little easier. One of the first efforts to combine the operations of planting corn was a seed hopper with a mechanical device for dropping corn attached to a shovel plow into an open trench and a log rolling behind to cover the seed. After further improvements in 1853, Brown was awarded a patent for a machine that he had used successfully the previous 2 years. He made 12 planters in 1853, 100 in 1854, and triple that the next year. New machines were not immediately accepted by farmers, although those who saw it at work said it would run very prettily through the field. They expressed concerns about the seed being damaged, planted at the proper depth, being covered correctly, as well as proper placement in the checker pattern. As the machine became proven to work, Brown doubled production to 600 machines in 1856, and then to 1,000 the next year. As the market for planters increased, other companies began making similar machines. After a number of lawsuits initiated by Brown, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor, recognizing George W. Brown as the inventor and patent holder of the corn planter. By the end of the Civil War, Brown employed from 130 to 230 employees and had a network of dealers to distribute planters across the country. In 1880, the firm was reorganized as G.O. Brown & Co., with a capitalization of $300,000. Later, the company expanded to manufacture other types of farm machinery. Brown actively managed the company until 1892, and just 3 years before his death in 1885. Although he didn't invent them, row markers as well as automatic check row devices using wire or rope stretch across the field with knots at regular intervals to actuate the droppers, which release the seed into the ground, were part of his planter. He also patented a semi-rotating seed plate for the hopper bottom with openings of various sizes for various seeds. And during the 1870s, Deere and Mansfer further perfected the rotary plate principle, one that was used on planters well into the 1960s. So, yeah. Just think about that.
Yeah. What can Brown do for you?
What can Brown do for you, yeah.
The log closing wheel is like my favorite on the picture. It's just a big old round
drag log.
Yep. Just smash her down and you're good to go.
I always thought that was interesting, you know, the whole check pattern idea of how, like, the two-way cultivation and stuff. Right. But,
and to throw like a clump of corn, you know, we don't want doubles now, let alone that's just chucking out quadruples in one spot. And
but you had to start somewhere.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Matt. Thank you to our listeners out there. Good to know while you're out planting corn that the start was over, you know, almost 200 years ago now for the start of the Brown corn planter. So thank you to our listeners. Please subscribe to the podcast and tell a farmer friend. It's very easy. Just search Tilt Talk Radio in Apple Podcasts or on an Android phone. Download an app like Podcast Addict, and there you can also search Tilt Talk Radio. You can listen on your computer or smartphone browser. Go to tilthag.com/podcasts. And you can follow us on Facebook and X at Tilth Talk Radio.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Now we'll get into our cool beans, that's corny, and some current events. So cool beans?
Cool beans.
Cool beans.
Cool beans. Our cool beans this week. Soybean planting has outpaced expectations as of the USDA May 5th update. So soybean planting is progressing rapidly. Farmers have planted 30% of the U.S. soybean crop, a strong pace across key growing states. So looking at Wisconsin, we are at 17% of soybean crop planted compared to 14% being the average of the last 5 years. Michigan's at 20%, Minnesota 22%, North Dakota 10%, South Dakota 25%. Missouri's at 28%, Illinois 33%, Indiana at 25%, and all those are, with the exception of Illinois, above their average. So Illinois is lagging a little bit behind. Kentucky's about even. They're 28% and their average is 27. So been a pretty good soybean planting.
I mean, this like there. Plant beans, plant them early, plant them often kind of movement is definitely showing up.
Yeah.
You know, obviously need the weather to allow that. But at the same time, I feel like beans everywhere, people are just jamming them in where they can and kind of worrying about it later.
Yeah, by comparison, corn is slightly ahead of average. It's at 40% complete nationwide, which is just ahead of the five-year average. So beans have been the star of the show so far.
These, when they re-release again the day after Mother's Day, this will be a lot of fun to see. This should be a week where it really, really everything kind of pushes. So, but I'm sure traditionally, too, the average, this is a lot of planting gets done to that first 2 weeks of May, so it should change a lot too.
All right, our That's Corny this week. Many ag programs and policies look to be stripped from the new Wisconsin budget. So a lobbyist for agriculture says that Wisconsin's next state budget from the legislature will remove policy items from the governor's proposed budget, potentially putting some ag programs on hold. Sean Paff, I'm not sure how he pronounces it, with Paff Public Affairs, says that Republicans will likely require separate bills to authorize and fund programs, even if they already exist. The Finance Committee will take the action this week of removing policy items. Some of the things they're taking out are pretty popular. Other things, though, they want to keep the budget streamlined, and they are waiting for budget estimates, which will come out mid-May, May 15th. So 29 policy-related things the Joint Finance Committee is expected to remove from the governor's version of the budget, including the Meat Talent Development Program, the Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin Grant Program, Farm to Fork Program, Dairy Truth in Labeling, Something Special from Wisconsin, and several other planning grant programs. So things that can be brought back, and especially if it's something that's there's a lot of support for. So in the short run, might be a setback for a little bit, but the upside is as long as these programs are, like I said, popular and doing well, they will likely be brought back just as separate items moving into the future. So, gotta love how government works. Yeah, even if it's something we like and we're gonna keep going, we gotta make it look like we're really evaluating this program.
That's right.
So we'll cut it now, but bring it back later. All right, wrap things up. We'll have our Field Good Friday. So you may not be there yet, but as planting season really roars into gear, here's 6 tips for farmers to battle burnout. So when you're pulling those long hours and the tractor, wondering why and who the person was and why they put lights on the planter so you could go all night. These are some tips from Successful Farming on ways to take care of yourself and make sure you're not completely burning out during the planting season. So,
I'm excited to hear these, Matt.
Yep. So number one,
it starts with like lots of caffeine.
Yeah, just pounding
junk food. You know, just
Red Bull.
Sleep when you die.
Turn the radio up louder.
Yep.
Yep.
Crack the window.
Air conditioning.
Change it from hot to cold so that you're not drowsy.
Pinch yourself a lot.
Pinch, that works. Pull nose hairs.
Pull nose hairs.
Yep. That one make you sneeze too sometimes, so it's not as... Stop to pee.
Peeing with the door open.
Yes.
Yeah, just keep going. Efficiency. Yeah.
You do have auto steer, so...
Right, yeah.
These are not the list, nor are they endorsed by
Bill Tucker.
This is probably the opposite of list, really. But first tip is to take care of your physical self. So make sure that you're paying attention to your body, eating, sleeping, getting out to pee is probably better than peeing on the run because you stretch out a little bit, get the blood flow moving, sleep when you can, drink water. Make sure you kind of make sure you're meeting all your physical needs. Number two is surround yourself with good people. So if you and your brother or your dad like to scream at each other, maybe make sure you're in separate fields. No, surround yourself with good people. Make sure you, you know, communicating. If you, you have the help, you know, swapping out at times so you can get, you know, back to number one. A little bit of rest now and then is good. Take charge of your thoughts. Remember, there's only so much you can really do, and, you know, do your best, but at the same time, don't put the pressure on yourself to, well, if I don't do it, it won't get done type of thing. So
you can only get so much done in a day.
Right. Have a good mindset going into what you can accomplish. Number four is building spiritual capital. So whether it's prayer, meditation, exercise, whatever helps you kind of find a good place, make sure that you're keeping up with that so that you can keep going out in the field. Find ways to reduce stress. So that's number five, looking at ways, whatever makes you happy. If you got auto steer, maybe you're watching a Netflix show or something. If you're in the digger, maybe not in the planter. Planter, you should really be paying attention. But I know that you guys laugh, but I know that there's guys out there doing that.
This was like 20 years ago. I jumped in a manure hose rig, and the guy had Price is Right on. He had a TV in there going a half mile an hour. He was watching the Price is Right.
Yeah, now with the advent of smartphone and all the screens, it's definitely...
It's both a help and hindrance to the problem, because everyone can get a hold of you, even when you're in the planning director.
Right.
But you can also, watch your favorite, catch up on your episodes of whatever show you like to watch while you're driving the tractor.
Or listen to podcasts.
And the last one is, if you need help, seek help. Whether that's comes down to, like I said before, switching out every once in a while from the tractor, you know, getting tired, things aren't moving the way they should, to, you know, just taking breaks, whatever you need to do, whatever help you need, make sure you do it when you can, if you can. All these things can be very difficult to do, especially when you feel like things need to get done, you're under the gun. But it's good to at least keep it in mind and try to do your best to manage your body so that you don't end up in a bad place as a result of doing your work out there. So
I'd love to hear, you know, this is a non-farmer's list. I'd love to hear the farmer's list of how to
Keep going.
Right. Help with burnout or how to...
What non-farmers are supposed to do to
burn out. What you'd actually do on the farm. Like, what they've actually seen does work. Because I know there's times where they know, like, well, I just got to push through this because I'll be done. And there's times where they know, like, okay, like, this time of year there's graduations going on.
Yep.
So I know talking to one farmer, he's got a college graduation that he's going to stop and go to that. And I said, that's good. Like,
right. It's
one day and...
Or
be fine, you know.
Baseball games, track meets, that kind of stuff.
That's trickier because it's, like... It's
you're not going to make all of them, but you could at least take the time to maybe go to one or
try to find the right time for all that stuff. So yeah, it's just, I don't know, prioritizing, I guess, is maybe the right word, and not.
And I'm not saying going to a Brewers baseball. I'm saying your kids.
You can watch the Brewers baseball game now.
We were joking actually the other day that, you know, Mother's Day.
Yes, that's
the person that planned Mother's Day. It was either a genius or wasn't thinking, because The genius part is you get separation and your wife doesn't have to deal with you being the crabby person you probably are because of all the work you have to do, but at the same time, and vice versa. But at the same time, yeah, we're celebrating mothers when
it's literally the busiest time of year. Farmers are busy in general, but planting is the busiest.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. That's our episode for today. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us, Matt.
So today we talked about some updates from the field, what we were seeing out there in our spotlight. We took a look at the Omega Block, which is the weather system that is helping us get a nice window potentially next week for getting things done. Ag History Minute, we talked about the brown corn planter. Cool beans this week was soybean planting has outpaced expectations. That's corny, is politics being politics and program is being cut, but then likely brought back in the future. And our Feel Good Friday was some tips on ways for farmers to battle potential burnout. So thanks for listening, and as always, happy farming.